People of Note on Fine Music Radio is proudly brought to you each week at this time by Peter Turin Productions. Fine Music Radio, and this is Rodney Trudgeon, welcoming you to this week's edition of People of Note. Now, as you probably know, booking has been open for Lara Foote's highly anticipated Othello, the Shakespeare play, which makes its South African premiere at the Pam Golding Theatre at the Baxter from the 6th of April to the 4th of May, and featuring a sterling creative team and cast. It's a hugely acclaimed production, adapted and directed by Lara Foote, and it made its debut at the Düsseldorf Schauspielhaus in September 2023, to celebrated praise, and earned her the Gustav Theatre Award for 2023 for outstanding artistic achievement for the direction of Othello. And this extraordinary production is now here in Cape Town at the Baxter, as I say, from the 6th of April. And playing the lead role, one of the great Shakespearean roles, Ntando Kani, a South African actor, and incidentally the son of the South African veteran actor John Kani. And Ntando was born in Port Elizabeth. He was exposed to the entertainment industry, as you can imagine, at a very young age by observing and learning from his father, who studied scripts for his own acting roles and took his son to theatre performances. And these experiences influenced him to follow in his father's footsteps. And gosh, has he followed in his father's footsteps. We're going to talk all about your achievements later. Welcome.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
You look so relaxed. I mean, this is a massive role you're doing. And it's not a nice role. I mean, in the sense that the story is not a nice story.
Right. Yes, it is a Herculean role. It is.
That's a good word, Herculean.
It is huge. I mean, it is one of the most amazing roles that a person like me could ever come across and take on. Mm-hmm. So you have to have some sort of confidence going into it. You cannot be scared to a point where you're just backtracking. So I'm going full on, and let's see what happens.
You're even doing your arms raised here as you, I think one of the posters has you doing that.
Yes.
But Ntando, isn't it interesting that your father, John, did this play, you say, back in 1988?
Yes, in 1988.
And in those days, the Great Kiss created such a problem, didn't it? With the black man kissing a white woman, which created quite a stir, didn't it?
It did indeed. Those were the times where we could not have those things happening in society or even on stage. So for them to have the bravery to do that, because it is how it was written. Mm-hmm. And I mean, of the days, back in the day, you used to have white actors playing the roles and they do blackface.
Blacked
like Sir
up,
Lawrence,
yes.
Olivier. The problem with that is that when Desdemona Othello did embrace, that polish or that whatever they put on the skin would rub off onto Desdemona. So I remember the story that my father tells me when he was being interrogated.
He was interrogated,
oh, absolutely.
Was he?
So he pulls out the script. He says it's written by this white man called William Shakespeare.
Yeah.
And here's another thing he says. When I kiss Desdemona, my skin, the color of my skin doesn't rub off on her. So it's a safer way to do Othello.
Absolutely. But do you remember, Ntando, do you remember those days when your father did Othello?
I do, actually. A funny story, I was 4 years old back in the day, just revealing
That's certainly
my age.
Young, yes.
In 1988, I was four, God. And I remember I used to be the only one interested in what he was doing because he used just to walk around the house reciting these lines and doing whatnot. So I used to grab the script and I used to follow with my finger every word that he used to say because it's written in iambic pentameter and it's easy to follow. And it was possibly the first book that I ever picked up that I could read properly. The first word I ever wanted to spell or ever learned to spell was handkerchief.
Ah.
So I remember that whole process. I don't think I was able to watch the production because I was very, very young, too young at the time. But I do remember the process of helping him with his words. And I used to say, well, you've missed that word. And he's like, I'm not there yet. We're not at handkerchief yet, Ntando.
Interesting that you were able to follow it 4 years old.
Yes.
That in itself says something. How does John feel about you taking on this role now? Is he immensely proud of you?
I would think so. I mean, he's not a man to... Not exactly, not to me. He wouldn't tell me that he's proud of me. He wouldn't tell me that, you know, he's I know he's rooting for me and he's got my back and he's, I know that he's proud, but he'd never say it. It's just the way that this African man has raised us. But you can only imagine, you know, when your son takes on a role that you did so many years ago and then you had critical acclaim for.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope he's proud. I can
is
only
he
going
to come down and see it, do
he
you
is,
think?
He is. He's going to come down and see it with my mom, and I'm going to be nervous. And
that's probably when you'll be most nervous.
Yes.
Not with just the general audience and even the critics, but when your father and mother are there.
That's, I mean, those are the people that I've always wanted to impress my whole life.
Yeah.
So there's a bit of nerves when it comes to that. Also, he is Dr. John Carney.
Doctor, indeed. Dr.
So,
John Carney.
Outside of the fact that he's my father, he's this great artist. I mean, mm-hmm. he's a theatrical god around the world. So when people like that are in the audience, you kind of do, like, tighten up.
Yes.
We need to get going, guys.
Well, he's not coming to the opening night, is he? Or is he?
He's not, because he is John Carney, he's going to be in the United States at the time.
Ah, okay.
Possibly receiving another Lifetime Achievement Award or something of the likes.
Yeah.
But he will come during the middle of the run and at the end of the run.
Okay. Gosh, I'd love to hear what he has to say to you more than anything else. But just let's briefly talk about Lara's approach. It's quite an daring and unusual approach, and yet it stuck apparently very much to the story. She set it in Southwest Africa at German colonization in, what, 1884, thereabout? That's an interesting idea.
Well, it's, you know, it's in the early 1900s. Because you remember the Second Reich that the German Empire had was mm-hmm. in 1886, where the great European powers came together in Berlin. And for the reason of separating Africa and, you know, dividing and keeping certain parts in Germany, if I'm not mistaken, got Cameroon and Togo and German East Africa and what was then known as German Southwest Africa, which is now Namibia.
Namibia, that's right.
We had the Herero and the Nama uprising and then the genocide that occurred after that. So it's set there because the original is set in Venice and then Cyprus. But now we're in Berlin and Namibia. And Othello is a native of this German Southwest Africa. So Lara's approach was to give, you know, when we disrupt script a little bit, you give Othello a different voice, his native voice, and you give him the language of isiXhosa, which, you know, it kind of heightens it, and it's heightened isiXhosa, and it puts, you know, Othello in a different world where he can express himself in his own mother tongue.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, we also the introduction of Afrikaans into the script, where Iago and Desdemona and the rest will speak Afrikaans. It also localizes it, and it makes it so much more heartfelt.
But can a person still understand it?
Of course.
If that person only speaks English, will he understand it Xhosa and Afrikaans?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
The way it's done.
The way it's done, the way that she's infused it, the way that she's written it, it still flows within the magic of the Shakespeare narrative, that you won't be lost, you won't lose what's happening. And of course, if you're a theater goer, you have been exposed somewhat to Shakespeare and Othello.
Of course.
So we don't veer off the course at all, not too much, but we just give, you know, Othello agency in a way where he's not this tragic person that was lied to and deceived, and then he's just at the end of it, well, that's it. We get an insight to his own perspective, like how does he feel? How did he circumnavigate the world in this foreign land where he was seen as a person of a different color? He was ostracized. We never delve into those parts. We just go into the tragedy part of it. But when you go into the psyche of the man, we understand his decisions or lack thereof when it comes to, you know, Desdemona and how the journey unfolds.
So has Lara tried to show us his soul, his inner soul as well? As you say, more than just the climax, the great tragedy.
Absolutely.
To actually make us get to know Othello the man.
Yes. This is, I think you put it perfectly when you say we try to expose Othello's soul.
Yeah.
So that people, you know, people can relate to him. It is not just a foreign character, especially if you're playing Othello in South Africa. He cannot be a foreign character that is ostracized because this is the life of a black man.
Yes.
And,
yes.
You know, this is the life that we live. This is a life that I, as a black man, am exposed to, too.
We're going to just pause for a moment, Atandwa, to listen to your first piece of music. What have you chosen to share with us?
I have chosen, because I do reside in New York, And often I do feel like Othello.
No, surely not.
A foreign land. And, you know, I still have my African roots. Mm-hmm. So my first song is called African in New York by Shirazi featuring Saz.
That's the first choice of music by my guest, Atandwa Kaini. Just tell me what it was, what we just listened to.
It was, it's called African in New York by Shirazi featuring Saz. And, you know, it's a, you know, Sting sings a song, I'm in an alien in New York, I'm an Englishman in New York.
That's right, Englishman in New York.
That's what he sings, and it's just got an African twist. And because I live in New York, and sometimes you try to assimilate and you forget about yourself, where you're trying to acclimate to that world and that society and those people, and to not lose the sense of my being, to not lose my Africanness, I use music to bring me back home sometimes. And this song, I discovered fairly recently because I am a fan of Sting and Englishman in New York. And when I heard it was African in New York, I was like, now it is my song.
Absolutely.
It is beautiful.
That makes sense. Now, Atandwa Kaini is my guest. He's playing the lead in Laura Foote's production of Othello, opening at the Baxter on the 6th of April. And we spoke about what a Herculean role this is.
Yes.
I just, you know, you said how you helped your father, John, when you were four,
yes,
learn his text. One of the questions I ask people who do Shakespeare in every interview I do, how do you learn such a huge, huge text? Do you have your own little secret?
My goodness. See, there's different ways of learning text. Some people are good at it. Some people are not so good at it. But it's essentially a muscle that you have to keep training. And you do that by sort of reading a lot of plays, reading a lot of Shakespeare, familiarizing yourself with the language, because it is a foreign language, especially in today's time. So if you have the passion of learning a new language like Italian or French or Spanish, and you bring that zest into this, into the work, then it's enjoyable. Then you discover every page that you turn is a new journey. It's a new way of speaking. It's a new way of, you know, the tongue moves in a different way. It teaches you different things. Mine is I associate pictures and imagery when I work.
Okay.
So I'm sort of like a verbal painter that stands on stage and I paint this beautiful portrait, and every word is a stroke, and every word is stroke of the brush, and there's shades and different gradients, so that the audience at the end of the evening have this huge entire portrait of the production that we're telling, because audience is from audio. So even if you could close your eyes and just listen, you will get the full story. So I always attach imagery to it. It's not just words that I just, you know, rattle out of my mouth. I'm painting a story for you and I to share in.
That's an amazing way of putting it. And how long does it take you to learn? How long have you been working on Othello?
Funny story about this process.
What's coming?
So Laura Foote, the beautiful Laura Foote, the incomparable Laura Foote, gives me a call and she says, "Would you like to play Othello?" And I said to her immediately, "Yes."
Oh, really?
I don't know what else is
you
to
didn't
come.
Have to think.
I said, "Yes, this is these kinds of calls you do not say no to."
Okay.
And then a week goes by and I get an email and she's like, "I'm still adapting it because it's an adaptation and I'm still, you know, tweaking here and there. But here's the sense of it. Here's the script that we worked with in Germany. And here are the translations into isiXhosa and Afrikaans. Script's down on the first day." And yes, that silence that we've just experienced set in my soul. How does she expect me to be script's down on the first day of rehearsal?
Is scripts down, meaning you know all the words, you know the whole thing.
You've learned the whole script. And the purpose of it, which I now realize, is that once you get into the room, we don't have much time to sit around and discuss. We have to play. So we solve through doing, as opposed to sitting around a table, which is a necessary process, by the way. You sit around and we unpack every scene, every act. But soon after, we need to get it on the floor. And you learn so much more when you start to unpack and wrestle with it and struggle with it when you have no script in your hand and it's in your body and you're working it on the floor.
And you're interacting with the other actors as well.
Absolutely. So it builds that great rapport between yourself and the other actor, the great trust between yourself and the other cast members. And it just gives you that confidence that, you know, once you get the words out of the way, because that is one of the biggest, you know,
hurdles.
That's a hurdle. It's a scary
Herculean hurdle.
It's a Herculean hurdle. Once you got that out the way under your wing, we can just now start to soar and play in the air.
Yeah. But they talk about an award-winning, formidable, creative team, and it does sound like it. You've got Kyle Shepherd doing the music. It's quite a team that Laura has put together.
It is indeed. And the cast members are... I mean, this is the first time I'm working with Albert Pretorius, who plays my Iago.
Yeah.
I have always followed his work, and I'm such a big fan of his. And my Desdemona is Carla Smith, and she is just beautiful.
It's so nice to hear you say that.
Oh, absolutely. You know, you meet new people, and you expect it to be somewhat of a grueling process, you know, getting to know someone, and I have to now be this person. But we just got together and we just gelled. The whole entire company, we just gelled. And we have, you know, Faniso Ayisa, who is at this point the matriarch of South African theater. Morne Fisser is in the cast. We got, the lighting designer is Patrick Curtis, who worked with my father in the original 1988.
Isn't that interesting?
Which is, he's like, "I lit your father, now I'm going to be lighting you." Acacio is Carlo Daniels. There's Vessel Pretorius, Lyle October, Tamsin Williams, Awe Tuhleli, Brandon Murray, Nolufefe Ntutshe, and Caleb Swanepoel. They're just amazing young actors, different varieties of, you know, of ages or whatnot. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't be more privileged and blessed to be put in the center of such an amazing, formidable cast.
And did you feel that immediately when you got together for the first time? Did you feel, this is going to work, we're going to soar?
Absolutely. You just, you know, you have that feeling, you sense it.
Yeah.
You know, me and Albert, we know of each other's work, so that wouldn't have been a problem.
Is that the first time you're working with him?
Yes.
Ah.
With him, it's such an intense process. But, you know, it's a funny story with Desdemona, with Carlos Smith. And I was worried. I'm like, what is she going to think of me? How long is this going to take for us to get comfortable around each other? Because we have to do a lot.
Yeah.
And the first day I met her and I saw her across the room and we locked eyes and she winked at me. And if I could blush, I would have been purple at the time. And I just kind of, I knew that this was going to be such a beautiful story. And we're going to push it that it is a tragedy because we're going to accentuate the love so much that they share between the two of them.
So therefore the tragedy becomes more potent.
Yes.
If you push the love.
Absolutely. Love. And it is real. Like we sat around the table and we were like, no, we don't want to have this fight. We don't want to take this route. And Laura's like, it is written. It's in the script.
It's written.
You have to do it. Oh,
oh dear. Okay. Now look here, Atandwe. Another piece of music, please.
Yes.
I think is needed.
This one is by Mandisi Gyankis, who is an amazing, amazing Xhosa singer. He sings in poetry and it's beautiful, and it's called Ngumama.
Ngumama lo ondizalayo, Ngumama lo ondizalayo, Ngumama lo ondizalayo, Ngumama lo ondizalayo, Ngumama lo. I sing umama lo bephala lencwadi, I sing umama lo bephala lencwadi, kambi kumama ngeyithethi yesana lwam, kambi kumama ngeyithethi yesana.
What you can go about that like Brazil and Dinche, Dinche, Kumama, Dinche, Dinche, Kuma, Dilio, Koyo, Dinche, Dinche, Kumama, Dinche, Dinche, Nanga Sudanja, Dilio, Koyo.
Check the shoes.
Niyoko yoko dije je je guma ya dije je je guma.
Well, you are once again, I'm going to ask my guest, Atandwe Kani, to tell us what we've just heard and why you chose it.
That was Mandisi Gyankis, and that song was Ngumama, and it's an ode to our mothers. Especially in such a patriarchal society, and as an African man, we're, you know, kind of told to lean toward the father more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with his presence as a blessing, you lean toward the father who teaches you duty, responsibility. But this is such a beautiful song because it reminds me of how much I do love my mother, because our mothers teach us love and how to love and how to navigate the world through love. So it's an ode to my mother, and I always think of her when I hear the song. And I'm not always with her because I live so far away from home.
That's the thing.
But Any thought of her just brings me joy.
Oh, good. What a lovely thing to say. Atandwa Kani is my guest. He's playing Othello in Lara Foote's new adaptation of this famous play at the Baxter, opening on the 6th of April. And in fact, you made me think now about your mother. I mean, she's John's wife, mm-hmm. so she's had to deal with him going around the world and all the things. Is she just a real down-to-earth housewife, or is there any theatricality in her?
She, more than anything, is just a solid foundation. She's a solid, solid foundation. She was a model, which is, you know, people think, where do you get your looks from, Atandwa? And I'm like, they always think it's my father. It's not my father.
Well, you do look a little bit alike. You do look, and your laugh is similar to John.
But I get the most of my very, very attractive looks from my mother.
I see. No comment.
No, I'm joking. But she was a model, and then she became a teacher and an actress. But she's so fiery. But she decided to stay home and take care of us and raise us. And she keeps him down to earth. She humbles him. She has no interest in all of his accolades and all of his achievements. She demands the man, yeah. not the artist at
the
home.
The husband, the father. Have you got brothers and sisters?
I do. I have 3 brothers and 4 sisters.
Wow. So what do they all do? I mean, just briefly. Is anyone else on the stage?
Let's go through every single one of them, shall we? No. No, none of them are in the arts, except for my youngest brother, who's going into more animation, that kind of world. But they have, you know, very proper, secure, smart jobs.
You sound quite secure in your life just reading through all this. But let's just cover how you ended up in New York.
Right. One day, I was on this soapy, and I cannot remember which one.
In this country.
In this country.
Yeah.
And I just saw myself around, and I was surrounded by these great actors who I had always admired growing up. And these were just giants in this industry. And at a young age, I think I was about 30, I said to myself, this cannot be it. This cannot be my ceiling. Because I asked myself, now what? Now, what do I do now? How do I top this? And the next move was, well, let's make it more difficult. Let's make it more challenging for you. Let's give yourself a task here. So I decided to move to New York, and how I did that was that I applied to NYU to do my master's, and I was accepted so that we wouldn't have to worry about that. So there'd be a reason I was there.
Had you already done a degree here?
I had done a degree at WITS. I'd done my honors degree,
okay.
my undergrad,
okay.
and I wanted to pursue my master's in NYU. And just to be exposed to different people, different cultures, to be away, to be by myself, and to see what comes up when I do a bit of introspection. Just to excavate and really find what kind of actor I am, what kind of actor I want to be, how much of a difference, how much of a change I want to make in this world. And that all comes when you're isolated and you really dig deep and find out who you are as a person.
Isolated, I suppose, is a major part of that. When you just go to a place like, why did you choose New York, by the way? You could have chosen London, or you could have chosen Berlin.
That's very true. That is very true. New York, because it's a very simple reason, that it's so easy to go to move around New York. You can take the one train from Queens to Brooklyn, Queens to the Bronx, Queens to Manhattan, to Staten Island. You can see all of New York in one day. If you go to LA, you need a car, and it's huge. So if you'd move to a different space that is foreign to you, what you want to do is feel comfortable that you can circumnavigate that world fairly easily.
But now, how long have you been in New York?
I've been there close to 10 years now.
Oh, really? 10 years?
So sometimes my accent that I use over there to just get by and not to prolong conversations comes out here. And people are like, yo, you've just only been there for 6 months. You don't have to sound like that.
but close that to 10 happens years. If you go for 6 months and you come back with an American accent, that's a bit odd. But you've been there for 10 years. So
yes.
I'm surprised you don't sound more American, may I say.
Well, you know, I'm consciously doing it. Nobody ever loses their accent. You know, it's part of the training as an actor to have as many accents as possible.
Yes,
so
yes.
This is also a bit of my training. So when I come back home, I'm glad to be home. I'm happy to be here. I'm happy to embrace every single part of me, including my original accent. But also, we're working on Othello, so Othello can't have a little twang.
No, no.
So Desdemona, how art thou?
Oh, that sounds quite good. Atandra, what about what sound, what accent do you use for your Othello? Is it your, as you're speaking to me now?
Yes. So what Laura Foote is insistent on is that we sound natural. Mm. So there is no Shakespearean voice because the script is here with us today in this country. And we are representing ourselves. We're representing the Southern African parts as we have adapted the script. So there is no putting on airs when you're performing Shakespeare. Because, you know, it separates you from the words. It separates you from feeling the words. And it creates another barrier to, you know, to overcome.
Yeah.
So, you know,
and for the audience, yes, absolutely.
Absolutely. It's a sound that they are familiar with. So we won't get up there and say, "Most potent, grave, and reverend seniors." You know, that's something that is very removed. So use your own natural accent, but you always play within the rules of Shakespeare and the iambic pentameter and the beats and the prose. And, you know, so you use that we're keeping as the core, but you use your natural accent.
That's a way to get it, to get that language to the people in the audience.
Absolutely.
Just explain that pentagla pleopleopato.
Oh, the iambic pentameter. It's a very natural way of speaking that, you know, Shakespeare writes in, and it's just five beats of two. So ba-bum, 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 ba-bum. And if you listen very carefully, you hear that this is possibly how we talk on an everyday basis. So it's just an example, as I used that one line, "Most potent, grave, and reverend seniors." So, but he's telling you, he's hinting where to stress, where to de-stress. If it's a feminine ending, which is like one more beat after the fifth beat, that means stress. This character is going through something. So everything is in the script, how you say the line, what you're feeling about the person you're speaking to, how you feel about the person that is speaking to you. It's all in the script, and it's all broken down in this very, very clever way of iambic pentameter.
So that must also aid you in learning the lines. That sort of rhythm of it must help you in learning the lines.
It does, because it's musical and it's poetic.
It's musical, exactly.
And it's easier to remember a song than, you know, a monologue, as
yes,
it were.
Yes, yes, yes.
So if you use that rule and you use the musicality of it, it becomes much easier to learn. But it's the rule that you have to learn in order to break. Because we cannot the whole play go ba-bang, da-bang, da-bang, da-bang. People will clock out so easily.
Yes.
But there's a sense of it if you understand how to use it. And then you break that rule and come back to it and break it and come back to it.
It's tension, relaxation.
Exactly.
All that sort of stuff. And is it in the adaptation, I'm trying to think now about Othello, Shakespeare very often uses thee and thou.
Yes.
Is that kept in?
It is kept in. But with the adaptation, Laura's really been, you know, she's really been working the script. She's been panel beating it. So there are moments where we use you, but that's also to show status relationships, status differences. If I say thou, I'm probably talking to a person of stature. If I say you, I'm probably talking to someone under me. But also she has included the works of this is one theater piece that, it's like a movie, you know. You don't want to talk too much about it because it's going to expose, and you don't want to like ruin it for people.
You don't want to give too much away.
So there's so much that's happening, and I'm so excited for people to come and see it. But I cannot expose everything.
No, don't. Okay, I'll stop you. I'll refuse to let you say anymore. Atandra, your next piece of music, your third choice.
My third choice is a young lady called Thames, and the song is called "Free Mind."
Get by, but I'm burning. I'm behind. My mind, it runs. cannot mix. One is the joy that you cannot waste, and the other one price that you cannot fix. This is the peace that you cannot buy, finding a way where you cannot see. Man with this system, he cannot pray. I need to find belief, but behind my mind it runs. All these thoughts are troubling.
Once again, I'm going to ask my guest, Atandwa Kani, to tell us a little bit about what we've just heard.
The artist is one of these new artists that has emerged and made a great difference in the musical world. She's a Nigerian artist by birth, Tems, and she was actually featured in the new Black Panther movie, for Wakanda Forever, in the song with Rihanna. And the song that we've just heard is called Free Mind. And it just, you know, it just expresses to me just the joy of having a working, fully functional mind. In today's world that is free, we have so many options. We have so many avenues to just search and find out. And we have a free mind, emancipated mind, as Bob Marley said, it's a joy. It's a gift.
You know, I'm talking, by the way, to Atandwa Kani, who's playing Othello in this new production by Laura Foote at the Baxter, opening on the 6th of April. We were talking about John, your father, doing Othello all those years ago in the 1980s. But I then saw that you made your international stage debut in The Tempest, also at the Baxter, with people like Sir Anthony Scher. I mean, I remember seeing that production. I can't remember you, I'm afraid. What did you play?
I played Ariel.
Ariel.
Yes. Take no offense to that, good sir. No, it was quite all right. It was quite all right.
But it was a lovely production. And that, I mean, here you are now making your Othello debut in the same theater.
Yeah. It was such an extraordinary time. It really was. It was my first professional theatrical production on the main stage at the Baxter. And to my left was Sir Anthony Scher, who played Prospero. To my right was Dr. John Kani.
Yes, your father was in the same production.
Caliban. And there was Jeremy Crutchley and Lionel Newton and Tineri van Wyk Lewis, who I am so in love with.
I see. <God.
laughs> She knows it. And it was amazing. It was amazing. And we toured England. We went to Stratford-upon-Avon at the Royal Shakespeare Company for about 4 months. And then we just hopped around to different theatres in
England. How old were you then? Because that was some time ago. And for a young man to have that sort of exposure, are you prepared to tell us how old you were? We won't say what year it is, so people can't work out your age.
I think I was about 21.
Oh, right.
At the time.
Okay. But then, Atandwa, you've done so much. You've done television network programs. You've done theatre, mostly in New York.
Right.
Is that right?
Yes. I mean, mostly here, because I grew up here, but mm-hmm. I've been, you know, finding great success in New York, too.
Oh, are you? I was going to say, are you getting work in New York?
I am indeed. You find your community.
Yep.
Especially as an artist, you have to have your pack, as they say.
Yes.
Like-minded people, morally and artistically. And I have found so many people where I stay in my community, but also in New York, in Manhattan. And we make work. You know, there's a Dutch director called Erwin Maas who directed myself and Tinery in a play called Poison Gif Ikievu. And he also lives in New York, and we have worked on a couple of occasions. We just did a show in New York called A Kid Like Rishi, and it was an amazing experience. There's Marvel, you know, Marvel Entertainment, Marvel Universe that has me in their grasp right now.
Good
so whenever you. They need me to do something, they call me over, and we just did What If, the animated series, the, you know, Marvel Cinematic Universe, and that was a great joy to do. I've done audiobooks.
I read the
prison letters of Nelson Mandela, where they, you know, they recovered all of these letters that he wrote
That's
to
right.
home, but they were
but
all
you
censored.
You played the young Mandela, didn't you?
I did.
A Long Walk to Freedom.
I did.
That must have been quite an honor for you as well.
It was indeed. It was indeed to play the great Rholihlahla. It's a dream. It's also a dream role, as you know, as much as Othello is, to play one of the most potent political minds the world has ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
That was a joy. But also, you know, Idris Elba played the older Mandela.
That's right.
So
for
a long time,
next to him.
I was known as the younger Idris. I was like, no, the young Mandela.
Yes.
Not the young Idris.
Let's take another break for some music.
Yes.
Tandoor.
My next song, which is, I love the song so much. It's Eric Clapton, Change the World.
The stars, pull one down for you, shining on my heart, so you could see the truth that this love I have inside is everything it seems. But for now, I'm
Well, Eric Clapton there, at least that was a name I recognized of your choice, Atandwa, and obviously a special song to you as well.
Yes. I mean, obviously through the arts, we hope to make a huge difference in this world, a huge difference in our society, in our communities, in our own homes. And that's why that song resonates so much with me, If I Could Change the World.
Maybe you are changing the world in your own little way. And by the way, you said you've been living in New York for about 10 years. How often do you get to come home to South Africa?
Not all that often.
Not all that often.
To be honest with you, it is a decision that I did make, so I have to commit to that. Mm-hmm. And I have to find how it is to live there.
Yes.
Without...
As you said, to discover yourself.
Absolutely. It's a journey. It's a journey of self-discovery more than anything else. Mm-hmm. It's a journey to discover myself as an artist, discover myself as a human being within a society, as an African within this world. And it's a journey. It's ongoing and it's never going to stop.
When last were you in South Africa to perform on stage? Was that a while ago?
To perform on stage? You know what? I did my father's 80th last year at the Market Theatre.
Oh, there you go.
And we took a couple of his monologues that he has made so famous throughout the years, and we've just weaved them together with the artists that he had worked with in previous productions, and we put it on stage, and it was a huge celebration.
What a lovely idea as well. Why didn't it come to Cape Town? I mean, really?
Well, that's where his work was.
I know.
You know,
his
at
life.
The Market Theatre his with life. Barney Simon and Manny Manum. And Vanessa Cook,
those names.
Fiona Ramsey.
Did you want to be an actor quite early in your life? Have you always wanted to be an actor?
No, absolutely not. I actually tried to run away from it.
You're joking.
Yes, young heart, immature mind. I didn't want to be associated with this huge giant who just cast this shadow over all South African actors, not only me. But it is the only thing that I knew, because the Market Theatre was my after school playground. I was exposed to a lot of theatres from such a young age, to the point where I started to understand it. Yeah. Why moments work and why moments don't. How much of an impact it has on people. Very just immediately, that immediate gratification. And it took me a while to come back to it. I had to study something else first to realize I hate this. I have to at least try.
So when you went to university at Wits, did you go to study drama and theater or something quite different?
Well, my first year was at what was then called RAU, the Rand Afrikaans
Universiteit. Oh, yes, RAU, that's right.
And I studied audiovisual production management, and I hated every single second of it. It's a great course, I'm sure, but myself was not for me. And then the next year, I went to Wits to study performance.
Okay. And that ultimately took you to New York to study there for your master's.
Yes.
And now what's going to happen when Othello ends and the curtain comes down on the last performance?
Oh, my gosh. I am not even there yet.
No, true. I should. But presumably you're going back to New York.
Yes. I'm going to spend about 2 weeks with the family.
Up in Johannesburg.
In Johannesburg.
Yes. And is this play going to Johannesburg at all?
We would hope so.
Okay. So it's possible.
It's possible. Anything is a possibility. We want to take it to Johannesburg. We want to take it to Durban. We want to take it to London, to New York. We want to take it to Germany.
Well, it's been in Germany. It was in Stuttgart, apparently. Where was that? Düsseldorf.
But that was, that was with a German company with one of our South African.
Of course it
was. The Othello was South African. That was Bongile Manzai, who's an amazing actor too. But now it's a full South African company. And if they see the way that we do it, then
they'll beg you to come back.
Then they shall beg us to stay there.
Okay. So it's Othello and then you're going back to New York, basically, after your little two-week break.
Yes. Going back to resume life as it was. I have a little dog I have to get back to open up everything. I've got my little French bulldog called Little Cash that I love and miss so much. And he keeps me sane.
Do you live in an apartment in New York?
I do. I live in an apartment in New York, in Queens, Astoria, Queens. And it's so beautiful. It's so picturesque. It's by the park. It's called Astoria Park. And there's the East River that runs there. And it's, people are jogging with their prams and people are just enjoying the park with their dogs. It's really utopia. I'm very blessed.
I've never been to New York. I've never been to America.
Really?
But friends tell me you've got to go and see New York at least once in your life. So I might come for a drink with you one day.
Nice. Let's do it.
Atandwa, we have to end there, but I wish you well.
Thank you very much.
I mean, it sounds so incredible with this huge production team, with Lara Foote at the head, with you and your incredible energy and enthusiasm. I can't wait to see it.
It's going to be absolutely amazing. You've never seen an Othello like this before, ever. Okay. Ever. And I guarantee that.
Okay.
Woo, you got to come see for yourselves, y'all.
Oh, okay, breathe out now. tell me what your last piece is, Atandwa.
The last song, just to shake it up a bit, is by Jay-Z featuring Mr. Hudson, and it is Forever Young.
Oh, Forever Young.
Yes.
I see. Well, as I said, we're not going to ask you your age. Atandwa Kanye, thank you very much for being such a lovely guest. And the play, Othello, Laura Foote's production, opens at the Baxter on the 6th of May, and it runs to May 2024, 6th of April to May 2024. And it sounds like the sort of thing we have to go and see.
Absolutely. Do not miss this one.
Thanks, Atandwa.
Thank you very much for having me.
Expecting the worst, are you gonna drop the bomb or not? Let us die young or let us live forever. We don't have the power, but we never say never. Sitting in a sandpit, life is a short trip. The music's for the sad man. Forever young, I wanna be forever young. Do you really want to live forever? Forever. Forever young. I wanna be.
Hey, may the best of your today be the worst of your tomorrow. But we ain't even thinking that far. You know what I mean?
Forever,
so we living life like a video. Where the sun is always out and you never get old. And the champagne's always cold and the music's always good. And the pretty girls just happen to stop by in the hood. And they hop they pretty stuff on the hood of that pretty say. Call without a wrinkle in today. Cause there's no tomorrow. Just a picture perfect day that lasts a whole lifetime. And it never ends cause all we have to do is hit rewind. Let's just stay in the moment, smoke some, drink some wine. Reminisce, talk some, forever young is in your mind. Leave them off, they can't erase, neither space nor time. So when the director yells cut, I'll be fine. I'm forever young.
Forever young, I wanna be forever young. Do you really want to live forever? Forever and ever.
Fear not why, fear not much while we're alive. Life is for living, I'm living uptight. See you somewhere up in the sky. Fear not die, I'll be alive for a million years. Bye-byes are not for legends, I'm forever young. My name shall survive. Through the darkest blocks over kitchen stoves, over pirates' pots. My name shall be passed down to generations while debating up in barbershops. Young, slung, hung here, shorter than from here. With a little ambition, just what we can become here. And as the father passed the story down to his son's ears. Younger kid, younger every year, yeah. So if you love me, baby, this is how you let me know. Don't ever let me go, that's how you let me know, baby.
Forever young, I wanna be forever young. Do you really want to live forever, forever and ever?
Let it run. Slamming Bentley doors, hopping out of Porsches, popping up on Forbes list. Gorgeous. Hold up. Daughter lost. They be talking. I be talking more. They nauseous. Hold up. I'll be here forever. You know I'm on my fault. I ain't with foreclosure. I will never forfeit. That's the four bars. Google ring the chorus in. Did you get the picture yet? I'm painting you a portrait of young.
Forever young, I wanna be forever young. Forever young. Do you really want to live forever? Forever. Forever.
People of Note on Fine Music Radio was proudly brought to you by Peter Turin Productions.